Lina Khan reflects on a year at the FTC and looks ahead. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. In the push to update tech industry regulations, one of the big players is the Federal Trade Commission. It's been just over a year since Lina Khan took over as chair of the agency, and just over a month since the confirmation of a third Democrat to the five-member commission broke a long-standing deadlock at the agency. That means Khan has a fresh chance to move on her agenda. I recently spoke with Khan at her office and asked her about taking on big tech in the courts.
We always want to win the cases that we're bringing. That said, it's no secret that in certain areas, there's still work to be done to fully explain to courts how our existing laws and existing authorities, which go back over 100 years, apply in new contexts. But of course, we always want to be signaling and making very clear to the market when we think that there is illegal conduct happening in the marketplace. And I think there can be a serious cost of inaction. So we really have a bias in favor of action. And of course, want to always be winning the cases we're bringing.
When you're talking about sort of these older frameworks structuring our modern world, you know, if you're looking at antitrust law, one of the key ways that was determined in the past was what it did to consumer prices. And now in many ways, the consumer is the product and our data is the product, especially for so many of these tech companies. When you have such a shift, how does that shape your strategy around anti-competitive practices?
Some of the concerns are evergreen. Right. I mean, the foundational concerns that led to some of the passage of some of the antitrust laws was around the control that a small number of railroads had come to capture over key arteries of commerce across the United States. Those are dynamics that we see today as well. When you have dominant firms, dominant intermediaries or middlemen that have come to capture control over key arteries of commerce or communication, that type of power really can do a lot of harm and lead to a lot of abuses. The FTC filed a lawsuit against Facebook. And in that lawsuit, we note that one of the harms that resulted from Facebook's illegal behavior was a loss in user privacy. And so that's an instance where, in as much as data privacy is a new, relatively newer type of harm that we're seeing in some of these newer markets, we're explaining to the courts why we think they should be taking that seriously.
And many of your, shall we say, unsupporters have said that this is not the role of the FTC, that data privacy legislation needs to come from Congress and that the FTC should stay out of it. Why do you think this is the agency's job?
Look, the FTC has been on the front lines of data privacy for decades. If firms are engaging in privacy violations that undermine or break the existing laws, we're going to enforce those laws.
We are experiencing record inflation. We just had Chair Powell raise interest rates again. In that body of work that you have accumulated before you even came here, you talk a lot about how consolidation in various industries contributes to higher prices. How much of a role do you think market consolidation is playing in the inflation that we're seeing now? And is there anything that the FTC can do about it?
Look, I think there's a very robust conversation around the various causes of inflation and the various factors that are driving inflation. Some of those factors are tied to, you know, various disruptions that occurred spurred by the COVID pandemic. I think another factor that we have seen contribute is the way in which our supply chains have become much more brittle. So the ways in which consolidation and concentration has meant that in certain cases, we've put all our eggs in one basket. And as a result, when you have a particular type of shock or a particular type of disruption, that can lead to these cascading disruptions. One trend has been to really focus on short-term effects on consumer prices at the expense of potentially thinking about broader resiliency of the market. And so one thing that we're looking to do is think about resiliency. Just last year, the FTC sued to block a merger between NVIDIA and ARM, which involved key semiconductor equipment. We thought that type of lawsuit was really important to make sure that with these key inputs and key technologies, we have markets that are open, that are competitive, that are really positioning us to be resilient.
That gets to my next question, because semiconductors was on my list with industries like baby formula, meat, tampons, all these areas where we're having shortages with just a few companies operating in these spaces. Are you planning to do anything more like what you did with ARM and NVIDIA to try to either disperse the control in these industries or to prevent them from being more consolidated?
So we have a couple of inquiries underway. Just a few months ago, we initiated an inquiry into supply chain disruptions. One thing that we've heard about, especially from small businesses, from independent businesses, is that there might be economic discrimination happening in the marketplace that could be worsening or exacerbating these supply chain disruptions. We also, just a few weeks ago, launched an inquiry into the infant formula crisis to try to understand, how did we get here? What are the factors that contributed to this? And how do we make sure that for other essential life-saving goods and services that we are not replicating the situation where a single company or a single factory going offline can just lead to such disruption? We're also stepping back and doing a bigger reset. So both the FTC and the DOJ are currently revising what are known as the merger guidelines. This is basically our enforcement manual for how we identify unlawful deals. This is another area where incorporating more of those concerns around resiliency can also really equip us for the long term.
I saw that you're coming up on your fifth listening session for that, and I was looking at the comments because I do love the Federal Register, and I saw that you had like 5,000 comments, more than 1,000 of those publicly posted. Given all this feedback that you're receiving in the listening sessions, in the comments from stakeholders, how has that informed what you think the final new guidelines are going to look like?
Look, these listening sessions have been incredibly valuable. We've heard from market participants across the country, across sectors. So we heard from farmers, we heard from nurses, we heard from media producers, we heard from startups and entrepreneurs in the tech space who are speaking to the ways in which consolidation can really close off markets, can make it difficult to enter, can make it difficult to compete on a level playing field. So really, it's led to a deeper appreciation for the real costs and the real harms that can emerge from these types of mergers and acquisitions, and really a mandate for us to make sure that our tools and our enforcement manual is fully reflecting that history and that experience, to make sure that we're not allowing unlawful deals to transpire and harm Americans.
Do you have a sense of when we'll see draft guidelines yet?
We're hoping that in the coming months, we'll be able to post draft guidelines and be able to get comments on those before we move forward with the final set.
Coming months, like 3 months, 6 months?
Within this calendar year.
Lina Khan is chair of the Federal Trade Commission. And now for some related links. They're a busy bunch over at the FTC. On Thursday, the agency issued a report to Congress about the risks of relying on artificial intelligence to solve online problems. What are some examples of online problems, you may ask? Well, the report includes a pretty grimy list. Content that is deceptive, fraudulent, manipulated, or illegal, like scams, deepfakes, fake reviews, opioid sales, child sexual exploitation, revenge pornography, harassment, hate crimes, and the glorification or incitement of violence. You know, like the January 6th stuff. We'll have a link to the report on our website, marketplacetech.org. Now, before Khan became chair of the FTC, she was a legal scholar who wrote about antitrust enforcement, arguing it should shift away from exclusive reliance on case-by-case lawsuits and focus instead on revising the rules to address violations systemically, which is pretty much what she's trying to do now as head of the FTC. We'll link to the 2020 paper published in the University of Chicago Law Review, where she makes that argument. The paper just so happens to be co-authored by Rohit Chopra, a former FTC commissioner himself and now director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We'll link to an interview I did with him shortly after he took on that gig, where he talks about how the agency is approaching tech regulation, particularly when it comes to data collection. And that final listening forum I mentioned, where the FTC will be taking in more public comments about mergers, that's coming up on June 21st. We'll have a link to that advisory, as well as a sign-up link, in case you want to weigh in with your own comment on just how you think the agency should handle mergers, acquisitions, and litigation when it comes to the massive companies that run our technological lives. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Amanda Peacher is the interim senior producer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.